once you called Claude and he agreed to meet you, considering his track record, was it a foregone conclusion that you were going to hire him, or was it the chemistry between you two? Was it something that he said during the interview process that you said, this is the guy I'm going to hire?
Well, like I said earlier on, I met Claude. I spent a little time with him in Toronto during the World Cup. And I believe you have when you meet somebody, you might, you know, I know it sounds crazy, but within 30 seconds, you know that person, how they make you feel. Either, anyway, I'm a field people, and I felt right away that Claude was a good man, a man of integrity, and again, his track record speaks for itself. He's been here before as a rookie coach. He left, won a Stanley Cup in Boston, almost 10 years or 10 years in Boston. So he learned a lot. He's Montreal, as we all know, it's a tough market. But coming back here, just like Michel did very well after he came back the second time around. So there's no doubt in my mind will be the same with Claude.
They're a good team. Listen, we all know there's probably, they've got the best goaltender in the world, I would have to say. They're solid in the back end. That's not to say that we don't have to fix and make our team better, but at the same time, there's a lot of talent up front, and I know that talent has been a little bit dried up as far as the scoring goes lately, but we got to fix all those things, and that's my job.
Welcome back. It is hour number 4, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Mitch Gallo, Dave Trentadue in for Rod Francis, who is in New Orleans. Simon Salikas has been here all afternoon as well, helping us out. Surprisingly, by hour number 3, I can still communicate, but it is going fast. And that was an interesting comment Mark Bergevin made, among many today, when asked by Tony Marinaro. And we're going to pick up on that every Wednesday at this time. We're joined by TSN hockey play-by-play man and raconteur, Gord Miller. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, sir.
That's kind of how I felt about you the first time I met you. I could tell, like, within 30 seconds that we were going to get along.
You're wrong about that, huh? Sometimes your instincts betray you.
Yeah, here we are all these years later, and you're on with us weekly. Now we're gonna work on you getting you on, like, twice a week.
Oh, no. I'm not sure your audience is ready for that.
All right, he is the man, Mr. Miller. Yeah. If you need any reminding that about three weeks ago, you know, kind of warned Montrealers to back off, that you have to accept the fact that you got one of the best teams in the league. Clearly, Mark Bergevin is on the same wavelength with that thought. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done something as dramatic as he did yesterday and today, hiring Claude Julien. Do you think this fixes things?
Well, I don't know, because I'm not sure exactly what's broken, and there's a lot of questions here. I understand that Michel Therrien was not popular in Montreal, and not the most polished guy, and maybe a little caustic for people's liking. I get that. Very conservative, which people wouldn't like. Claude Julien's very conservative, too. And by the way, I have the utmost respect for Claude Julien as a coach and as a person. And what Mark Bergevin said is very true. He is a person of first-class integrity. But the criticism on him in Boston was, A, very conservative, and B, was not too welcoming to young players. David Pastrnak took a long time to draw into that lineup, and it frustrated Bruins management. So some of the criticisms of Therrien in Montreal were similar to what Julien faced in Boston.
Well, but didn't Claude also find himself in a situation in Boston with now this precedes Don Sweeney, so not necessarily to that point, but he's been there, done that, and they are going through a transition phase as a team and a general manager who inherits as a coach, and you know what happens when a GM inherits a guy as a coach, right?
But as you said, this precedes Don Sweeney. The issue is Cam Neely. Cam Neely never liked Claude Julien. Shouldn't say never liked him, but never warmed to him. Even after they won the Cup, I remember the season after they won the Cup, the nicest thing Cam Neely could say about Claude Julien was, he's improving as a coach.
That was
the highest praise you could give him.
Yeah, there definitely was a disconnect right out of the gate with those two, huh?
Neely wanted a more freewheeling, wide-open team. And Julien, to his credit, knew that wouldn't work. That doesn't work in the NHL now. So he was managing up as much as he was managing his team. So look, he talked about it today. He inherits a very good team. I still believe the Montreal Canadiens, they're not Washington, they're not Pittsburgh, but they're in the next level. They're a top 10 team in the NHL, and that gives you a chance to win the Cup. A lot of things have to go right, but I still maintain that Montreal is a very good team. They have a hole down the middle, and the question is how they address that. Is Galchenyuk a top two center in the NHL? Now, he is, obviously, but can he play as a number one or 1A center in the NHL every night is a big question. What do you think?
I think he showed last year and the beginning of this year that he can, and that he and the whole point of some of us being a little beleaguered by the development or lack of development of Galchenyuk was that by now a lot of the chunks in his game, especially defensively, he would have had more time to work on this if he had been in the middle,
right?
Learning at the NHL level. You watch enough hockey. There's some talented young centermen that a lot of people around here actually don't watch except for highlights, like Leon Draisaitl, another big game last night. They all have issues in their own end. It's part of learning how to play in the National Hockey League. So Galchenyuk is playing catch-up here.
But my question is, Mitch, how many really good teams have those young centers going through that? So you know what I mean? If you're going to be a Stanley Cup caliber team, you probably don't have a young center learning his way through the league. I mean, listen, Nazem Kadri last night played for Toronto against the Islanders and was terrific against John Tavares. He was fantastic against Tavares. He's in his seventh year in the league now. Toronto's been a non-playoff team for all but one of his seasons in the league. I mean, the Montreal Canadiens don't hope to make the playoffs this year. They have the expectation they'll go far in the playoffs this year, and it's hard to do that with an inexperienced center who often struggles, and I don't know, I won't say often, but sometimes struggles against the best teams in the league and the best centers in the league. And that's the hard part of this, is Julian doesn't have Patrice Bergeron here to back up David Krejci.
He doesn't have Krejci or Bergeron here.
Right. He doesn't have either of those guys. What he has is, and I think he'll play to the strength, he has an all-world goaltender. He has a very good defense corps, among the best, at least in the Eastern Conference. And so I would say to you that he'll play to that strength, but don't expect wide-open freewheeling hockey now that Claude Julien's taken over.
I don't think anybody expects that. I think people expect a better power play, and I think people expect and are almost demanding a better penalty kill, which is one area that Julien has traditionally had.
And that's something he's very good at, for sure. He's you know, I mean, Julien's an excellent coach, and there's no question about his strengths as an NHL head coach. And, I mean, even before that, the American League and junior. But, you know, you got to play the cards you're dealt. And my question about Montreal remains, are they good enough down the middle? Every team's got holes. We've been over this. Every team's got holes. I mean, I wonder if Washington can score in the playoffs like they do in the regular season, because they haven't been able to the last couple of years.
That's valid.
So every year in the playoffs, I mean, Braden Holtby has the best save percentage in the NHL the last 2 years in the playoffs. But Washington's goals per game has dropped by a goal per game in the postseason. So everyone's got holes. Montreal's is glaring. But if you want to be Washington or Pittsburgh, I got news for you. They drafted guys first overall. Right? I mean, they finished really badly and drafted first overall. And in Pittsburgh's case, multiple times.
And the Canadians finished last and drafted third overall, and they drafted supposedly a guy to address their problem years down the road of having somebody down the middle, and he couldn't get in the middle.
Well, right. So, but let's see how Julien handles this, because Pasternak really had to earn his trust, and I don't know that Tyler Seguin ever did.
Okay, but what about, we were just kicking this around, Mark Bergevin said today, specifically in terms of Sergachev, that he's not going to trade his best prospect for...
Let's start there. Never say that. So Jim Rutherford calls up tomorrow and says, you know what, I'll give you Malkin for Sergachev. You think he wouldn't do that?
Well, no, but hold on. He said he wouldn't give up Sergachev for a quick fix.
Malkin would be a quick fix, wouldn't he?
Okay, well, that's an alternative universe. That's an alternative universe now you're talking about.
No, but what I'm saying is never say you wouldn't trade a player. You'd trade any player.
Well,
unless you have Connor McDavid, don't say you wouldn't trade any player.
Okay, but you know what he's doing there.
I know what he's saying. He's sending a message to Sakic and Chayka, like, lower your prices. I'm not giving up Sergachev to get Duchene or Hanzel.
But if you're Colorado, if you're trading Matt Duchene, a proven NHL guy, although not necessarily, like, I look at Matt Duchene, who's a really good player, is one of the fastest skaters in the league, obviously, and I kind of, it's like Patrick Marleau to me. He's going to help. He's a really good player, but he's not a guy who's going to take anybody on his back and lead. Is that fair?
I think so.
Matt Duchene?
Well, Patrick Marleau has been a very good NHL player for a very long time.
I love Patrick Marleau.
Yeah, and I think that the knock on him that he doesn't elevate in big games is a bit of a misnomer, because he's as productive in the playoffs as he is in the regular season. The problem with Marleau is he doesn't make any spectacular plays. He rarely, you know, does something that makes you go, wow. He's just big, great skater, good hands.
And Duchene's not as big. And great player.
And the question about, you know, the question about Duchene when he started out in Colorado, is he a center or a winger?
You're right. But if you're Colorado and you're trading Matt Duchene, you need a young center back. So they got to be asking for Galchenyuk here, in addition to a first-round pick and Sergachev. That would be my guess, is what the asking price is.
Right, because you're getting a player who's got time left on his contract. This is not a rental.
So you said, go ahead. Sorry, Gord.
I think Montreal is currently constituted, if things go their way, can get to the Eastern Conference Final or maybe even the Stanley Cup Final. I don't see why they can't. They have the best goalie. I don't care what I know what's happened the last month or so. They have the best goalie. So right away you have a chance. They have a very good defense. They've got a premier goal scorer. So I still believe that this team can do it. Are they the favorite? No, but let me tell you this. If you say you're taking Washington to come out of the East, I'll take the field. I'll take the other seven playoff teams happily.
Yeah, prove it. Show me with Washington. Washington doesn't have...
Pick your team. Pick Pittsburgh. I don't care who you pick. You take whatever team you think is going to win the Stanley Cup, and I'll take the next five teams in the overall standings and be quite comfortable with my position.
Gord Miller with us every Wednesday after 6 on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Mitch Gallo. Simon Salikas is here with his Bill Belichick hoodie on all day.
Oh, air conditioning. I just want to get back to that deal you said there, Mitch. Yeah. Galchenyuk, what?
Galchenyuk, Sergachev, and a five pick is probably the... I don't know this, but I'm guessing that's their asking price.
That'd be crazy, though.
Of course. That'd be crazy. Well, that's why there's no trade.
Right, and the asking price is going to be high. I mean, you ask for the moon. Anyone who's ever sold a house knows you do that. And Joe Sakic's in a great position. He's got a lot of teams that want this player. And he'll just wait until the deadline, if he has to, unless someone comes in and preempts it and says, you know, makes a bully offer and says, give him to me now. He doesn't have to trade Matt Duchene.
Right. They have him under contract.
Right. He doesn't have to trade him. It's not like he's a, you know, like Chayka probably has to trade Martin Hanzel. Julian would love Martin Hanzel, by the way.
I was just going to ask you, isn't that a typical Claude Julien and Michel Therrien player?
Yeah, absolutely. Dave Tippett loves him like a son. He doesn't score a lot.
Well, he scored in his last... He's actually got 14 goals this season.
Yeah.
Which on the Canadians is a big deal.
That's as many as... who is that second among forwards or third among forwards, right?
Yeah, historically not a... I mean, you're historically not a 20-goal guy. You're probably not looking at a 20-goal guy.
No, you're talking about a 15 guy who plays a heavy, heavy game, which don't have. They don't have a lot of those players. Excellent on faceoffs. They don't have anybody who's excellent on faceoffs. And a lot of size. He's not a glamorous guy. And again, a lot of people in this city, they don't watch Arizona Coyotes games. So they look at Market Hansel on Hockey Database and they go, what's the big deal here? Watch him play.
Well, and I think that, you know, he's never really been in a position where he's played really important moments. He's had a couple. I mean, a couple of years ago, Arizona did get a couple of rounds in the playoffs. He hasn't had that chance yet, but honestly, Dave Tippett, who knows the game, loves him.
Yeah.
Thinks he's one of the most complete players in the league.
Go ahead, Simon.
Gord, we're not sure how much Claude Julien is going to shake up the team in the first couple of games, but you see a scenario perhaps where he goes back to Nathan Beaulieu and puts him out there with... Shea Weber. I know he'll have to log anywhere between 20 and 25 minutes, but can you see him? At least he wants to see it himself, see if that pairing can work. Because on paper, it seems like it's a pairing that should work.
Yeah, it probably should. Look, Claude Julien played Zdeno Chara until he dropped. Now, Chara's in ridiculously good shape, but, I mean, he played Chara until the wheels fell off and was quite happy to do so. I think Shea Weber's going to see elevated minutes under Claude Julien, and whoever's with him is obviously going to get dragged along in that undertow. But, what we've seen from Julien is he likes an offensive guy with a more defensive guy. He likes that balance. But, you know, the cap crushed the Bruins, right? The cap, I mean, they didn't want to give Johnny Boychuk away for 2 second-round picks. They didn't have a choice. They were crushed under the cap.
Yeah, because they won the cup.
Well, and then they traded for Jerome Iginla, trying to get another one, and Iginla put them over, and then guys needed more money. Everyone needed raises, and they had to do it, right? So I think, you know, what's funny is we've seen these coaching changes in the NHL this year, and even coaches that haven't changed anything have had success. Like, really, Mike Yeo is not doing a lot different than Ken Hitchcock did, probably not as relentless and annoying, but he hasn't tactically changed the St. Louis Blues. They're just playing better.
Yeah, he's just kind of, they're not as tight. That's the problem with the Canadians, watching the Canadians.
Did Doug Weight tell the Islanders, hey guys, go score more, will you? Oh, good idea. Let's do that.
Final
up a goal a game.
By the way, the Leafs game last night, 7-1, is this like, you know, as each day passes on the schedule and we go deeper and deeper into 2017 in the home stretch here, like where are the Leafs at in terms of a legitimate player right now?
Well, they're there. I mean, they're right on the bubble. I mean, I still think, and I will cling to this until the last smokestack slips beneath the waves, I still think Tampa will take a run at this thing to make it. They're too good not to. Boston's playing itself back into the mix. The Leafs are a very good team because they are great down the middle. Auston Matthews is a star. Auston Matthews is going to be, for the next 10 years, a guy we talk about as one of the five best players in the league. He's that good. Nazem Kadri has become a very good second-line center, a guy who can handle big minutes against the other team's best players and contribute offensively. And it's taken a while, and it's been growing pains, but Mike Babcock deserves a ton of credit for working with Kadri through some tough times and getting him to where he is. Their issue is on defense. They're not very good on defense.
Final one, Mitch. So
I guess you'd say that with a hole like that, I'd make them a slightly less than 50-50 shot of making the playoffs.
Gord, no morning skate yesterday for the Leafs, and they pick up that 7-1 win, and we know John Tortorella, how he feels about morning skates and the role that they were on at one point this season. How much longer do you think we see morning skates?
And I'm not being dismissive. I don't know, and does it really matter? Like, do we really care? Like, do what you want. I don't know. Like, I mean, if you want a morning skate, morning skate. If you want to have optionals, have optionals. I don't know if it's a big deal when teams practice and when they don't at this stage. I mean, everything gets parsed in the league now with social media and all this. I mean, what's up in the dressing room? Who's meeting with who? I mean, honestly, I was talking to some guys from Columbus. I mean, this ballyhooed meeting between John Tortorella and the leadership group, that was a planned meeting. And one of the guys said at one point, hey, maybe you could back off a bit. Then it turns into players call meeting demanding Tortorella back off. Well, that's not what happened at all.
I bet you.
So I guess to answer your question, like, does it really matter if the players go in the morning? I don't care. I mean, go or don't go.
Maybe you don't, but I bet you we asked Ferraro that question, he'd be pretty animated about it.
Oh, he hates the morning skate. Hated as a player, hates going as a broadcaster. Yeah.
Dan Robertson's biggest concern last night was whether or not Claude Julien calls early morning practices.
What do you mean? Earlier than 11?
Yes. That's what it was concerned.
Yeah.
Okay. So much gets dissected. And, I mean, I think we've lost the reason the morning skates were held in the first place. I mean, guys aren't out drinking the night before every game anymore.
Well, some are.
So, let's hope not. I mean, like broadcasters are. But, you know, seriously, I think there's more important things to talk about than when you practice and when you don't.
All right, and we'll do that and won't ask you about morning skates again as of next Wednesday. Thanks, as always.
Was that dismissive?
Yeah, kind of, but that's right up your alley. It's perfect.
Oh, I'm comfortable with that.
I know you are. It's your trademark. Like, what's bugging Ray? Dismissive Gord.
Me. Yes, exactly.
Have a great week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.